You'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 as we turn to the Lord's Word. And as you're turning there, if you would join with me in a spirit of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask that you would be honored and glorified, that you would help us to see what you desire for us in prayer. That you would be honored and glorified in all things, Lord, in the way the Word is preached, in the way we listen, and in the way we are challenged. So, Lord, help us to repent if we approach prayer wrongly, Lord, and forgive us as we confess and long to do what is right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so as we continue to look at prayer, I want us to look at the first part of Jesus' most well-known discussion of prayer. Before Jesus actually teaches his disciples how to pray, he actually teaches them how not to pray. And the question Jesus is answering here is really, when is prayer not prayer? Okay? And so as we work through what Jesus teaches, we will find that prayer is not dependent, or prayer is not prayer depending on our motivation and desires. And so we define prayer both as communication with God and His communication with us, but also how our hearts approach it matter as well. So if our desires or our approach to prayer is inappropriate, then our prayer can cease to be prayer. And so prayer cannot be ever separated from the heart of the prayer. And so Jesus warns his people about their motivation in prayer. And so we looked at this last week real quick and dealt with a little bit of it, but we're going to look at it again today. So Matthew 6, starting in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And so the first thing Jesus tackles is, do not pray for praise. The first area Jesus deals with in wrong prayer is this, the area of public prayer. Jesus has no time to cater to hypocrites who are just in the faith for show and self-serving reasons. And so let's just define hypocrisy a little bit. It's when you say something for personal benefit without really following up in your actions. And so it's like the person that condemns a bunch of stuff, but then when it comes down to it, they're willing to do those things that they're condemning. You know, it's like the person who condemns other people gossiping, but as soon as you get them alone, man, they're off to the races with talking about other people and their circumstances. And so that's hypocrisy. And so the hypocrisy here that Jesus is dealing with is this idea of praying to the Lord, you know, heaping up all of these glorious, loud, wondrous prayers for your own benefit to show off for people. But when it comes down to it, that's all you want. You want to be looked at with honor and respect for the way you pray. And so Jesus isn't condemning any and all praying in front of people, because Jesus, in fact, prayed in front of people publicly on many occasions. He is squashing the motivation to receive praise from public prayer. And so Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees and pious Jews who would stop what they were doing and just pray out in public. And some of them would stop and quietly pray discreetly, but there were some who would pray with a show and pretentious display of their faith. And they prayed so that they would be applauded for their piety. And so if one is praying in public to receive praise from people, God doesn't need to answer that prayer because you're receiving exactly what you want. You don't want God to answer the prayer. You just want the praise. And so you immediately receive what you want because people will say, wow, look how great of a prayer that guy. Look how spiritual and holy he is. This kind of prayer doesn't involve God at all. They receive their reward from the people that see them, not from God. And so prayer is lifting up one's heart to God, and prayer is not meant to be a show of how Christian one is or how religious we are. It's communion with God. Jesus tells us to pray in secret, not so much to emphasize location, but more to emphasize this is a time spent in communion with God. A real issue is not so much where we pray, but praying in secret so that we don't parade our faith to receive praise or be tempted to receive praise. And so the idea of praying publicly for praise seems like a bit of a stretch for many of us because I think number one or number two in the greatest fears in people's life is public speaking. I mean, if I were to ask you right now, just right off the bat, would you stand up and pray? How many of you would be really excited to do that? Okay? Not many of us. So this is kind of a foreign idea for us, this idea of standing up to pray and for the praise of people. But the temptation is still in our hearts to practice our faith, specifically here, to be seen in a certain light in people's eyes. And because this is actually in a list of what Jesus also tackles the same issue with giving. Are you giving and wanting to slap your name on it? Are you giving so that and wanting to put a marker on it to say, hey, look what we gave? And that's what Jesus is talking about. And do not let your left hand know what your right is doing. Because we're not here to honor ourselves in our giving. We're not here to honor ourselves in our prayer. We're not here to honor ourselves in anything. We're here to honor God and receive His blessings from seeing Him honored. If your prayer in public sounds different than in private, then we may be falling for the temptation to pray with people in mind, thinking about what we are doing, rather than God being the forefront of our prayers. We can be more concerned with what people think about our spirituality, our faith, our prayer, rather than with our hearts before God. Prayer is to be said to God and offered up to Him and Him alone. And also, we actually don't want to fall on the other side of this and never pray in front of people. I would want to challenge those of you who fear praying in front of people to get over it. Okay, that's kind of the blunt way to say it, but you need to get over it. Because you're not praying to impress people. And we're going to get to it. You're not praying to impress God either, because you can't. You're praying to pray in front of God. How many of you have no problem, you know, having a conversation with somebody else in a public gathering where you might be heard? It's no different. Then if Kurt and I were to stand here having a conversation, granted in this context it's a little weird because it's the middle of a service, but if we were in a room and we decided to have a little conversation, that would not be strange. None of us would avoid that type of thing, would we? But when it comes to prayer, we begin to avoid it. And you know, praying in front of people can be helpful. It can teach others how to pray. It can introduce one another to different things that we might incorporate into our brain, different language that we use from Scripture or our hearts that can encourage one another. Maybe we pray in front of people and they don't know what to pray, or we introduce something that they haven't thought about praying about. It can be a help. So I want us to avoid the idea that we should never pray in public. But we also must be careful about our heart. Do we pray so that people will look at us differently? Again, prayer is about God. And it's to Him. You may fumble and sputter in your prayer. That is not a sign of weakness. It's not. God longs to hear our hearts commune with us in our fallible, stumbling way. God's not distracted by our feeble attempts to communicate. He longs to commune with us. And so we don't pray to impress people, and we also don't pray to impress God. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Jesus goes from describing vocal prayer to be seen by others to prayers that are meaningless and repetitive, that are meant to impress God or get God to act or hear. And so Jesus warns against the Gentiles' type of praying where they thought they would be heard for their many words. They piled up meaningless phrases in meaningless repetition. And so pagans or those who did not believe in Yahweh God would often repeat the names of their gods or the same word over and over without thinking, mindless repetition. And so Jesus here is not condemning rote prayer. He has a prayer written in Scripture, the Lord's Prayer. We have many of His prayers that we read and we learn from. The book of Psalms were rote prayers, so repetitive prayer is not the issue. It's the mindlessness of it. Not thinking about what you're saying. Mechanical repetition. He's not prohibiting earnest, heartfelt prayer that flows from the imploring heart, that flows from a heart connected to Scripture. And we can actually see a bit of an example of this in 1 Kings 18, where Elijah challenges the prophets of the false god Baal, where they're challenging, it's a competition between Yahweh God and the prophets of Baal to send down fire and consume a sacrifice. And if you remember that story, we see in starting in verse 26, when the prophets of Baal set up their altar, they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar, and they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, and so if you've got sensitive ears, you may want to stop listening, but he says, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he's relieving himself, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened." And they cried out aloud, and they cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. First of all, no one paid attention because Baal's not real. But secondly, this idea of having to motivate a god or God to do anything based on our personal preferences, performances, or anything is erroneous. Because then we listen to Elijah's prayer. And remember, when Elijah set up his altar, he dug a trench, filled that with water. He doused the thing with tons of water. And then listen to his prayer. "And at that time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back.'" Fire comes from heaven and consumes the whole thing. 5-second prayer. God answered. It's not about length. It's not even about verbiage. It's about your heart. Elijah wanted God to demonstrate his power in his life to a people that do not know him and have turned away from him. Elijah demonstrates that God is not impressed by many words. He's not impressed by theatrics or mindless repetition. And so we need to be careful with what we do and learn when we talk about prayer and meditation. Elijah's prayer was simple. It was focused on God. And so be careful when you incorporate things of this world into your prayer times. For example, take yoga. Yoga is based on just emptying your mind, and the positions were actually created to worship false gods. Okay, and so I'm going to get probably a little bit judgy here, and I'm not intending that, but I want to explain to you some of the danger of incorporating New Age practices that have a semblance of Christianity to them. And so something like yoga, I'm just picking on this one because just the first one in my mind, you can do yoga in a Christian way, but it ceases to be yoga when you take the spiritual aspects from yoga out. Okay? So what if you're taking the spiritual aspects of yoga out, what do you get is stretching. You can pray while you stretch all you want. There's nothing wrong with that. But the basis of yoga is to empty your mind. And God actually never says to empty your mind. He says to fill your mind with His Word. And so go ahead and stretch and do the dog thing, the sun thing, or whatever it is you do. And talk to your Savior. Don't empty your mind. Take the opportunity to repeat Scripture. The fullness of the world is the Lord's and all that is within it. Bam. Focus on that. Don't empty your mind. Fill your mind. Because if you empty your mind, it's going to be filled with nonsense. And so go ahead. Stretch. Pilates it up. But fill your mind with the Lord. We were created to worship Him. And so be careful you are meditating on Scripture, not emptying your mind, but filling it with the words and things of God. And so we should be intentional and not just rote with our prayer. And this is easy today, especially if we have set times and things we pray over. And I have to admit, for our family, mealtime and bedtime are probably the most rote prayer times in our household that is easily ventures into, we need to do this, let's say the same things so that I can go down and watch This Is Us with Erica. Is that too real for you? It's just the nature that we have to be careful when we're teaching our kids. You know, we're not great at this, but reminding Joseph and Gideon as they're praying, don't just say the same thing. Remember to thank God for someone. What are you thankful for today? And it's like pulling teeth. I know now what God has to deal with when He's trying to get me to do something by trying to get my kids doing something. But it's a blessing because it's an opportunity to see the Lord at work. And so we need to be careful that even our regular prayer times, and I have to be honest, sometimes I feel like that when I do the pastoral prayer, because I have a setting, and our list is repetitive, but it's still the heart that we have to see the Lord act in these things. Our hearts are designed by God to worship. Are we worshiping Him? And we must take caution, like Ecclesiastes 5:2, seriously. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Praying a formula or an incantation or certain phrases does not impress God or motivate Him to more action. Our prayers must be motivated by love for Him and to glorify Him. It's not the act of praying, but the heart in our praying. If we're going to repeat something, is it full of love for God? Love for His Word, a desire to see His glory in our lives and the lives around us? Prayer doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be long or short or pleasing to God. I remember being a kid growing up, and my dad often would be asked to pray publicly, like for meals and everything. And I don't know why they always asked my dad, because my dad tended to pray long. But he would often say, and this is a problem with me, but he would often use the imagery, say, purple mountain majesties. I was like, what is he talking about? And I always thought he was impressing, trying to impress people, but he wasn't. He was scripture, the God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I wasn't regularly reading my Bible back then to know that he was using scripture. And so I always thought he was trying to be impressive, but he wasn't. He was just so full of the Word of God that it just flowed in his prayers. And as John MacArthur says, prayer, more than anything else, is sharing the needs and burdens and the hungers of our heart with the God who cares. Prayer isn't about getting things. It's about communion and relationship with our King, Savior, and friend. Our Father hears us. He knows our needs. He perfectly cares for us. And as Martin Luther said, prayer is much more God instructing us than ever it is God being instructed by us. Prayer is not the bending of God's ear or arm. Prayer is a request for God's glory to be displayed in our hearts and our lives. God helps us in our prayers, which shows us that it isn't about formula or phrases. Jesus says God already knows what we need before we ask, so we don't need to impress him or goad him into action. And in fact, he knows our needs so deeply that when we don't know what to pray, he prays for us. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. Even when we don't have the words, God helps us in prayer. We don't need to pray to inform God, but to inform ourselves and remind ourselves that we are utterly dependent upon him for our needs. And we are even dependent upon him to know what we need. And so we often talk about needing to engage in prayer with more than just what we want or need. We should take time to praise him, to thank him, to confess to him, but even that shouldn't become formulaic. We should never have this feeling or thought, shoot, I didn't praise or thank, now God won't hear me. That's not what God is saying here. It's not what Jesus is teaching. If in the moment of distress or anguish, you just drive right into, God, I need you, he hears that. It's your heart. When Peter was sinking into the water, he didn't take time to praise, thank, and confess. He says, Jesus, help me. Because it's about our heart and our needs for him in any given moment. God is too kind and too gracious to be petty. Oh, you forgot to praise me. Oh, you forgot to thank me for this awesome breath you have in your lungs. Oh, you didn't confess this time. It's important. All of those things are hugely important to your prayer and your regular prayer. But our God is too merciful, too gracious to keep a checklist of our feeble attempts to communicate with him. And so we don't praise, we don't confess with a motivation to get from God what we want. We do it because our hearts long to be forgiven. Our hearts long to give him the praise and honor that he's due. To reflect what he's doing in our life. We pray to get God. That's what prayer is. And in our praying to get God, he pulls and massages our hearts to be in line with his heart. So we don't pray to impress people, and we don't pray to impress God. And so, Father, we thank you for your word, for your work in our hearts through prayer. Lord, help us to long for you, to take the discipline of prayer seriously. Lord, and some of us may just feel discouraged because we don't often see the answers to our prayers. Lord, help us to know that just because we don't see doesn't mean you're not present and acting. But also, Lord, I would ask for a merciful moment that we would see your answers so that we would not only get benefit, but so that we can point people's hearts to your loving care for us. Lord, help us to be humble, but also bold in our prayers, whether we are praying in the secret and quiet place, or whether we are called upon to pray in small group in church, or over a meal. Father, help us to know that we are praying with you, our friend, listening and communing with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.